Good morning, everybody. Let's take a minute just to pray together. Lord Jesus, give thanks for today, the day that you have made, Lord. And we come before you with gratitude. We're so grateful that we can come together like this to hear your word and start the day with you, God, in you, and would you just speak to us this morning to guide us and lead us and point us in the right direction. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're really going through the last verse, which is verse 13, but we'll just read the whole chapter just so we get an idea. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and it is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. I'll read 13 again. Now faith, hope, and love remain. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And so these are the three greatest pursuits as a Christian in life, right? It's not miracles, power, and gifts. They are faith, hope, and love. And it's a good point to reflect, what are we pursuing, really? And if you're not, perhaps, maybe because the satisfaction that we are receiving is not fulfilled because we're not pursuing these three things, right? Maybe we're pursuing, I don't know, fame, approval of man, money, right? Or maybe the problem is we're not even pursuing anything, right? We just want to escape. We just want to veg out and just rest, right? And sometimes it takes some intentionality of what am I really trying to achieve and pursue? Because I'm guilty of that. Sometimes, like weekends, I just want to sleep and rest. But really, what am I, and there's nothing wrong with those things, right? But it's also important to note, I guess in my case, on the weekends, that is prime time for me to spend time with family. And sometimes it doesn't come naturally, where I have to turn on a switch and be like, all right, what's more important? I catch some sleep, rest a bit, or like, should I really be engaged in my phone while I'm with my family, or I should really be spending time with them, being you know, the message Nate shared, be present, right? And so, and before I do that, something interesting happens. Before I do that, I'm just like so tired. I'm just trying to almost pass the time. And then once I'm intentional, I put it away and I'm like, I'm here for love and relationship. I want to spend it with my kids, get to know them and have fun. Something switches in me. And as soon as I do that and start engaging with them completely, it's no longer tiring. I actually, it's like we're just having fun, right? And so what are you pursuing? Paul says the three pursuits, again, are faith, hope, and love. That should be what we should be really going after. What do you want? And so these three things are mentioned oftentimes in the New Testament. Together. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, it says, "Remember before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." There's something special about these three things. Not only should we pursue, but they work together. I especially like the last verse where it gives us an idea and kind of sees what each thing produces. So it says here that your faith, what will it produce? It will produce work, right? Your faith will produce work. As in, you know, it says, basically Jesus loved us first, right? We encountered him first. And thus through that encounter, we wanted to respond and do something meaningful with our life. And thus it produced a work in us. And that work, the word work in Greek, there's actually two meanings. Okay, the first meaning is a work that is stimulating, right? And I'm sure all of us in our jobs, we want it to be stimulating. We want to be able to use our brains. And when it comes to a point where it's no longer stimulating, that's when we start to look and consider other possibilities. And then it says, so faith produces work. And then it says, love, what does that produce? It produces labor. So remember I said the Greek word for work, there's two meanings. One is stimulating. The other type of work is toiling. It's hard. And so that's what love produces. Love produces that labor where a lot of times it's hard. I imagine if you're in corporate job, right? You have long hours. You're just so tired. It's stressful. There's pressure. The environment, you know, people are putting pressure on you to produce. And so that's that toiling. And why do you do it? Right? What motivates you to continue doing the things that you don't want to do? And so that's just corporate, but even in relationships, right? Why do you continue? It's love, right? Why do I choose to play Monopoly with my kids when I'm super sleepy and tired? It's love. Love is what causes you to labor. And then the third one, it says hope. What does hope produce? It produces endurance. Hope gives you endurance to continue, right? If there's a possibility, you're hopeful, you believe that God can do it. Hope produces endurance. And oftentimes, why do we give up? Right? In anything. Relationships, work, even when you're playing a game like Monopoly. Because you lose hope. You see no possibilities, right? You're like, there's no hope, so I give up. However, if you have hope, you don't give up. You endure. So what's the difference? I think, we've been going over love for basically the last 3 months, so I'm not going to get into what is love, and I think that one seems clear. But what is the difference between faith and hope? Can you guys think of anything? It is kind of hard. I was trying to define it, but they're so similar. Okay, so what's the difference? Faith in Greek is defined in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So interesting that the word hope is also in the definition for faith. So it's confidence in what we hope for, insurance, what we do not see. And so what we're talking about is, when we're talking about faith, we always say this, faith in Jesus, right? He's, to us, we believe in him, that he's real, but we haven't seen, right? That's what faith is. And then what is hope? Hope in Greek, the word elpis can be defined as joyful expectation, joyful and confident expectation of good. So one way of understanding the difference between faith and love is that faith is a belief in the concrete, yet currently invisible reality, and hope is an attitude about waiting for that reality to become visible. So that's how they work together, right? Hope is more an attitude that you have that's based on the faith, right? It's the way you go about things. And so I don't know if you could have one independent of the other. Is it possible to... I was just thinking, is it possible to be so confident and have such high faith, but then you just have a bad attitude, so you don't have much hope? Is that possible? Maybe. Maybe. But it probably implies something with your personal relationship, right? Like, you can think God is so real, but maybe you just don't trust him very much. And so thus, the hope level is not so high. I imagine, especially if you're a new Christian, right? Maybe you shouldn't expect a brand new Christian to be so hopeful, because they don't know, right? They don't know who God is. But love is the greatest because it will continue, right? Love is the most important. And I was thinking of an example. The best example I could think of, this might seem like total left field, but I remember when I was pursuing my wife, well then girlfriend, and before I asked her out, I made all these plans in my head of what I'm going to say, where I'm going to do it. So stressful, but so exciting as well. I almost missed that that time of my life where you're pursuing somebody and you don't know if they like you and, doing all that, kind of. And so anyway, I finally pursued my wife then, told her what I liked her, told her why, because she kind of interrogated me, right? She said, what are your intentions? Have you prayed about it? Have you thought this through? How is this going to work? It was a little unpleasant. But anyway, she finally said, I'll give you a chance, right? And I was so happy. But then an interesting thing happened, right? Where we kind of looked at each other and we're like, now what? It's like, oh, you like me? We're doing this? And it's like, what do we do? Because I had not planned anything beyond that point, because so much was banking on that point, right? And at that point, the only thing left to do was basically just to experience our relationship, to love one another. And that's exactly the case with love when it comes to heaven, right? Because when we are in heaven, faith and hope will have already fulfilled its purpose. We won't need faith when we see God face to face. Right? The whole point of faith is you believing something concrete but is unseen. But he's in front of you. You're face to face. So therefore, faith is no longer in the equation. It's not eternal. And then there is hope. We don't need hope in the coming of Jesus once he comes, right? Like when we say we're always hopeful, we believe things will basically, in some ways, pan out. He's working, right? End of the day, we're looking to heaven, right? But once we're there, hope is no longer a factor. Also, another thing is, love is the greatest, well, first you can see, because those two, faith and hope, they're not eternal. So only love will continue because we'll be doing relationship with God. But also love is the greatest because it is an attribute of God. It says that in 1 John 4:8. And you could say faith and hope are not part of God's character and personality. I know, sounds weird, right? Let me explain. So, because God does not have faith in the way we have faith, because he never has to trust outside of himself, right? Because he is the concrete one, right? He knows he exists, and he can see himself. God does not have hope the way we have hope, because he knows all things are in his complete control, right? All control. He has the control. He's sovereign. But anyway, the point is, we don't really need to choose between the three, right? It's not a binary option. Are you choosing love or are you choosing faith and hope? For all of us, they're all important. I know we live for the eternal, but right now, as we're living this temporary time on earth, we should be pursuing all three, faith, hope, and love. I mean, the whole point of what Paul is trying to say is just to give us correct perspective and alignment, right? Because until Paul said this, maybe it was debatable which of these is the most important. How important is spiritual gifts, right? And he makes it clear, spiritual gifts without the motive of love is nothing, right? Love is everything. And so if love is not in the equation of what you're doing, why you're doing it, maybe we need to reassess the things we're doing, right? So I want to invite Wes up. And this was really a like huge difference maker, because when Janie and I, we first got married and dating pretty much throughout, when we had a disagreement, it was very unpleasant. We would both go at it. And then, well, first, we realized a lot of times we had these like serious conversations right before a meal, so we were hangry. But there was nothing to do, so we had no phones back then, so we would talk. And then that would always lead to a disagreement. But once we had that disagreement, things would escalate. And then the thing that really changed was, because the disagreements really would be like, this is what happened, and then the other person shared what happened, and they're trying to explain to them, the other party, that it's not really my fault, it's really your fault, right? So that went back and forth. And it wasn't until there was one thing we just couldn't have an answer to, which is, as you said that, are you being loving? Right? Are you being loving? And then you just take a second, and then we both were like, especially when it, you're asking God to, right? And the conclusion is, no, even though I feel like I'm right, and this is about being fair and just with one another, I have not been loving in my attitude, in the way I'm talking to you, and what's in my heart. And once we were able to at least recognize, have that awareness that we're not being loving, and it's important to be loving above all else, then we would change the way we talked, to change the way we communicated, changed our tone. And so that's just, one example of where we just need to make use of love as kind of a filter. Are the words I speak, is it loving? As I'm about to choose to do this, I don't know, is it loving? Is it about love? What is driving me? What is motivating me in my actions? And I just felt like if there's any difficult situation or conflict that's occurring in your life, just take a minute, ask God, like, am I responding as I'm processing and thinking about what to do, is love in the equation? Am I really trying to love? Or am I just trying to get what I deserve, right? What am I entitled to? What's fair? Or am I trying to love?
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, great is thy faithfulness.
Let's turn to our screens. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those who are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Everyone's list is cancer. So let's pray for God's strength and healing and encouragement. Let's also pray for those on the list who are suffering from illness, but also in a word of need of salvation. Let's pray for just a receptive heart and for God to really speak into these people's hearts. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for God to just fully heal these injuries. Let's also pray for those with COVID. Let's pray for Tim's sister Jane and also the frontline medical workers. Let's pray for protection and courage and strength. Let's also pray for those on the job list. Let's pray for Sterling. Let's pray for God to lead him to opportunities and for favor upon him. turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan, Peace Sophia, Jungmin, and Hyunjin. Let's pray for the U.S., SPNY, with Kelly, Jess, and Ruth. Now let's also pray for India. Let's pray for Kelly, and also the cafe that she's running. Let's pray for the Mission Council, P. Samuel, Tim, Sally, Mike, John. Let's pray for unity and vision and direction, and just love for the missionaries that we support and the, I guess, nonprofits that we also partner with. Let's pray for those relationships. Pray for SP Fam, the foster and adoption ministry. Let's pray for the parents, our partnership with Mother's Choice, and also Safe Families. Let's pray for our Friday night gatherings, IP, SP Youth, SPU, and GIC. Let's pray for God to really move on these gatherings, for amazing fellowship and sharing and vulnerability. And yeah, let's pray. Finally, let's pray for the pregnancies. Let's pray for Tayon and Hina and any other moms that you might be aware of. Let's pray for the protection of baby, for the healthy development of the baby, and the relationship between husband and wife during this time. Yes, Father God, we just give thanks for this day and the passage today. Really, we give thanks for just the whole chapter as Paul talks about what love is and how it is eternal and it is, in terms of priority, it is the most important, Lord. That is what you called us to do, Lord. And so, Lord, let us help us to be mindful in our attitudes, and even in this chapter as it describes the way love is and is not, Lord, whether it be patience, kindness, not being arrogant, being hopeful, enduring in our relationships, in what we do for the sake of love, Lord, that we would use love as you defined your agape love to guide us, Lord. And we recognize we can't, I guess, give this agape love without you pouring into us, Lord. So, Lord, when we are unable to continue, when we're feeling unable, then, Lord, would you cause us to seek your face and receive that love, that agape love, that touch of love in our lives, Lord, where we would know how real you are and how affectionate you are towards us as well. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everyone.